Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back to the Justin Rogers Sports Podcast. It has been a minute. The last time we spoke, I believe it was after Game 1 of the NBA Finals. And let me tell you, a lot has happened since then, especially in the NBA, even though it's the offseason. Yes, the Warriors were crowned NBA champions. Shout out to them. That was awesome to see as a Warriors fan. But yeah, the news has not stopped there with the NBA. Some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff has happened since then. Particularly with the NBA draft night. We saw the Timberwolves and the Bulls trade with each other. The Wolves traded Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and then they swapped picks for Jimmy Butler, which I thought was a really good move for the Wolves. Show that the Timberwolves want to win right now. And honestly, I like the lineup that they have. I liked Zach LaVine running the point there. I thought, I don't know if he was a better option than Ricky Rubio. I liked him. I thought he was more exciting to watch, more athletic than Ricky Rubio. But then again, Zach LaVine, he's had his injuries and he's had his inconsistency. So I can see why the Timberwolves wanted to move on from there. But looking at this lineup on paper, I actually really, really like the Timberwolves. Their starting lineup so far, what it looks like it's going to be, obviously it's still subject to change. It's the offseason, but right now it's Ricky Rubio at the point, Jimmy Butler at the shooting guard position, Andrew Wiggins at the small forward. I always have trouble pronouncing his first name, but Dieng is at the power forward, and then Karl Anthony Towns at the center, and then coming off the bench, they have Cole Aldrich, Omri Caspi, and then they have Shabazz Muhammad. Those are their notable bench players. There's obviously other ones on the roster at the moment, but those are the ones that I think have will get the bulk of the playing time coming off the bench in the upcoming season. But yeah, I really like that trade. I don't know. I don't think they'll contend with the Cavaliers next year. I think the Cavs are just too good at this point. And the Timberwolves are rather young. And then sometimes it takes teams a little bit of time to gel together. So that could be the case with Jimmy Butler coming in. But I really, really like that young talent with Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns right there. I think the more they develop, the better they're going to be. And the bigger of a shot the Wolves are going to have to contend with the Cavaliers in the East. Maybe it's only a couple of years. Who knows? Maybe they can surprise some teams this year. It's all up in the air. You never know in the NBA what's going to happen, except recently for who's going to play in the finals. But hopefully that is going to change. Not with the Warriors, though. I'll admit I'm biased, and I hope the Warriors make it every year for as long as their star players are in their prime. But in the East, have at it. Anyone can make it. I do not care. But yeah, I thought that was a good trade for the Wolves. It's crazy. It's crazy to see what impact the Warriors have on the rest of the NBA. Now, I don't know. I don't know if you can solely put this on the roster that the Warriors have built and developed, and hold them responsible for the moves that other teams are making. But obviously, what these bigger market teams are going to try to do is you have to try and contend any way you know how. So bringing some of these other top-notch NBA players, these premier players, and trying to lure them into your roster and convince them that, hey, if you pair with our superstar, we'll build a super team, and then we'll compete with either the Warriors or the Cavaliers, depending on which conference you come out of. So I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, but I feel like that's kind of the mindset that teams are having, trying to build these ridiculous rosters to try and compete. But, you know, I don't know exactly how it'll work, how these teams will stack up against the Warriors and the Cavaliers. You just never know how teams are going to gel. But nonetheless, it's been a crazy, crazy NBA offseason, and I really, really want to talk more in depth about it, and that's what I'm planning on doing today. I actually took to Twitter today because I'm still learning about podcasting and everything. I am no expert by any means. I really don't have that much of a following other than my friends and family. That's pretty much my only following, if I'm not mistaken. But even then, I'm trying to get more people that I know to follow along with me in my podcast because I think it's fun. I think we can all learn a thing or two from one another in this sports community. I love, love, love talking about sports. It's a huge passion of mine. And so what I did today is I took to Twitter to ask my followers, ask my friends, kind of what they wanted to hear in the podcast. I kind of, not forced, but I kind of wanted people to ask me some questions, give me some talking points, just to see what other people want to hear and see how our opinions either are similar or how they differ. And so one of the first questions that I got was from my friend Nick Langworthy, who I played baseball with at Sonoma State on the club team. And he had a question regarding the huge news that dropped today in the NBA, the huge blockbuster trade regarding the Rockets and the Clippers sending Chris Paul to the Rockets for Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, Lou Williams, and Montrezl Harrell. And then in addition to that, the Rockets added Ryan Kelly from the Hawks, Tim Quarterman from the Blazers, DeAndre Liggins from the Mavericks, and Darren Hilliard from the Pistons, just to make this deal happen and kind of fill out the roster. But yeah, so what Nick asked me was how I feel about this trade and if the Rockets will challenge the Warriors in the playoffs now this year. And that is an interesting question. That is something I had to think about. So what I did was I looked at how the roster is going to stack up this upcoming season, just kind of get an idea of what to expect out of the Rockets, because admittedly, I do not watch a lot of Rockets games unless they're on national TV or they're playing against the Warriors or it's the NBA playoffs. So looking on paper, it's a good trade for the Rockets. I mean, they got the playmaker that they wanted. They were looking for a way to contend with the Warriors this upcoming season. And honestly, great move for them. I think it was funny how they kind of swapped first team all defensive point guards, getting rid of Patrick Beverley, who won it at the guard position, then adding Chris Paul, who won at the guard position, which I will admit I was kind of surprised that Chris Paul was able to win first team all defense. But hey, congrats to him. Congrats to Patrick Beverley as well. So looking at the lineup, it'll be Chris Paul, obviously, at the point. You have James Harden moving back to the shooting guard position. This was the one thing that I questioned the most in terms of sensibility, because Mike D'Antoni, who won Coach of the Year, congrats to Mike D'Antoni. He did a phenomenal job with the Rockets last year. But anyways, he moved James Harden to the point guard last year, and he absolutely shined. He came in second in MVP voting. He averaged 29.1 points per game, 8.1 rebounds per game, and then 11.2 assists per game. Easily the best season of his career by far. And now, I don't know, I just kind of question them moving him back to the shooting guard, especially because he played so well with being in control of the ball, having the ball in his hands the majority of the time. And then now he's moving back in favor of Chris Paul, who thrives when he has the ball in his possession. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they distribute the basketball, how they kind of find a way to coexist with one another. I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just kind of interested to see if they'll be able to gel together quickly, or if it'll take some time, or if it just flat out won't work at all, which I highly doubt that will be the case. Anyways, getting a little sidetracked here, but finishing reading off the starting lineup in the roster for the Rockets, they have Trevor Ariza at the small forward, Ryan Anderson at the power forward, and then Clint Capella at the center. Coming off the bench, they have Ryan Kelly, who they added. They have Eric Gordon, who won Sixth Man of the Year. And then I'm trying to think of who else they have. I think those are really the two main pieces coming off the bench. I don't believe I wrote down anyone else. No, I didn't. But I honestly, that is a pretty damn good lineup. To answer your question, Nick, I don't know if they will be able to overcome the Warriors, but they definitely have a better shot at matching up against them. It's just hard to imagine a team overtaking the Warriors in terms of talent, because they have an extremely talented and diverse lineup, probably one of the best basketball teams in the history of the NBA. And obviously this roster is yet to be seen in play. I do think that the Rockets will be one of the top teams coming out of the Western Conference this year. I think from listing the top three, I would have to say Warriors will finish first. I mean, they're obviously going to be the heavy favorites to win the Western Conference. But I can also see either the Rockets or the Spurs coming in second or third. I honestly think it'll be one of the two. They'll either flip-flop, either the Rockets will come in second, Spurs in third, or vice versa. I honestly think it'll be the Rockets, though. I think they have a better shot. They have a younger roster. They have a more talented roster than the Spurs. In my opinion, looking on paper, I think the Rockets have a pretty good shot of competing in the Western Conference. Don't think it's enough to overcome the Warriors, though. But there has been a rumor that they're really, really trying heavily to land Paul George. And if that were the case, that would be incredible. I think that would honestly be the best thing that could happen for the Rockets. I think if they were to add Paul George, it would hands down, without a doubt, be the Rockets going up against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals next year. I don't think any other team in the West would have a chance. But we will see, because the Celtics are also looking heavily into adding Paul George. There's a lot going on in the NBA. Looking at the other side of this trade, for the Clippers, I don't think they're going to compete. They're definitely not a contender to win the West this upcoming season, but I honestly don't think they made it out of this deal on the short end of the stick. I don't think they were screwed over in this trade. I think it'll take a little time. You have Patrick Beverley, who will most likely start for them at the point guard, and then you have Lou Williams at the shooting guard, Wesley Johnson at the small forward, Sam Decker at the power forward. That's with the idea that Blake Griffin goes elsewhere, because he is a free agent, and ultimately I see him leaving the Clippers. So for now, if he does end up re-signing with the Clippers, then he will obviously start at the power forward instead of Sam Decker, but I highly doubt that's going to be the case. So you have Sam Decker at the power forward, and then you have DeAndre Jordan at the center. And then coming off the bench, you have Jamal Crawford and Austin Rivers. Those were really the main pieces that I saw, the most notable players on the roster. Again, J.J. Redick, he's a free agent as well. I don't think he'll be back with the Clippers, so I think that's a huge blow for them, honestly. But I don't hate the move for them. Patrick Beverley, he's a serviceable point guard. Like I said, he won first team all defense out of the guard position. Lou Williams, he's all right. He's solid. Same with Wesley Johnson. And then DeAndre Jordan at the center position. He can hold his own over there. What I think was a big deal breaker for the Clippers. What I think will eventually help them is obviously the draft pick they added. I don't know exactly what pick it is. I think it's the first round pick for the Rockets in next year's draft. I'm actually gonna look that up real quick, so just bear with me. Let's see. It's loading right now. Yeah, it's just 2018 first round draft pick. So I think that'll help them out a lot. Like I said, I don't hate the move for the Clippers. I think obviously on paper the Rockets won the trade for the time being, but in order to pull, or for the Clippers to pull the players that they did and a draft pick that they did, I think that was the best case scenario for them, because Chris Paul was leaving regardless. So really good job of being able to do a sign and trade and walk away with some pieces and a draft pick to help rebuild the squad in the future. Because if they just lost Chris Paul and Blake Griffin in the same offseason without getting any pieces in return, I think that would have hurt the Clippers for a long time. But good move on both parts. It'll be really interesting to see what happens in the NBA next season. I'm excited for the rest of this NBA offseason. I'm really, really interested to see how some of these rosters, these playoff teams who can't quite compete with the Warriors or the Celtics, I'm excited to see how they form their roster to help kind of combat these quote-unquote super teams that like the Warriors have, or the, I don't even know what you want to call the Cavaliers, great team. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really excited for the rest of this NBA offseason. This has been one of the craziest offseasons I've seen in a while. That does not involve the Warriors signing Kevin Durant. That was crazy just because I was a Warriors fan. That shook the NBA for the whole offseason. But yeah, I want to see where players like Gordon Hayward go, if Paul George will end up getting traded by the Pacers at some point this season or this offseason, because he's set to become a free agent in 2018. I anticipate Paul George will not be in a Pacers uniform next year. And a lot of teams are interested. Like I said earlier, the Rockets want Paul George, which would be insane. That would be incredible. I would really like to see the Warriors and Rockets go to battle with Paul George in that Rockets lineup. Obviously, it'd make me a little bit more nervous than the roster they have now, but as a Warriors fan, there's not really too much to complain about there. I don't know if they're the front runners, but the Celtics really, really want to get both Gordon Hayward and Paul George, so that would be phenomenal. If they're able to do that, they would most definitely be able to compete at a way higher level with the Cavaliers if they're able to add those two pieces. Even if they had one, it would definitely be a sight to see come next season. It'll be a matchup that I would look forward to. I really look forward to what is to come of the NBA this upcoming season. But for now, it is yet to be seen. Enough with the NBA, though. I think it's time to talk some baseball. I am running on nearly 20 minutes, so I want to talk about baseball and get to the last of my questions without making this podcast too much longer than it needs to be. So without further ado, I have been waiting for what seems like forever to discuss the fate of the San Francisco Giants and share my thoughts on what has been a tumultuous and surprising 2017 season. I remember before the season started, I was super, super, super excited to see what was to come of the Giants, see if they're able to rebound from their horrid second half and their heartbreaking loss to the Cubs in the playoffs. I was looking forward to them because they added Mark Melanson. They have a true closer. I was looking for the team to be healthy, but not everything goes to plan, and this season has been the worst Giants season that I have watched. It's the worst season that I can remember. I think it's one of the worst seasons since the 90s. So that, oh man. And there were some bad Giants teams in the early to mid 2000s. Mostly the mid 2000s, after, right after Barry Bonds left, and when they were still trying to find their identity, and then they had Lincecum and Kane emerging. Anyways, it has been absolutely awful in 2017. They are 30-51, and today they just secured their first sweep of the season. It only took 81 games, exactly halfway through the season, to earn their first sweep of the year against the Colorado Rockies. This roster has been horrible, and people say no one would have guessed this happened. And I'll admit, I did not think this was going to happen, but just seeing it crumble, seeing it fall apart in front of me, I am, and looking at this roster, I think to myself, and I think, honestly, this is not that surprising. When you look at what was addressed, some of the moves that have been made, and the players underperforming, yes, it's true, you can't really predict who is going to underperform. I get that. Some players just have bad years. I mean, injuries. Players play through injuries. Injuries happen to the team. Players miss time. It just, everything that could possibly go wrong for the Giants has gone wrong this year. Let's see. I have a bunch of stats right here. You have what? Madison Bumgarner out until after the All-Star break with his sprained shoulder. He's finally doing his rehab games, which is a great sight to see. You've had Denard Span miss some time. You've had Hunter Pence miss some time. You've had Mac Williamson and Jarrett Parker, who were supposed to be your left field dynamic duo. I don't want to say platoon, because it wasn't the idea that they were going to platoon coming into the year. Is basically whoever played better was going to be named the starter. That's how it was. And that was an absolutely horrible decision. I hated that decision by Bobby Evans going into this season. I thought that was the worst mistake he could have made. I didn't think it was going to work out at all. I had absolutely no faith in either of them. If there was one I thought was going to do well, was Mac Williamson, but I did not think he was going to have this monster year or anything like that. And what do you know, he got injured. So just nothing has worked out. They did not address some major needs, and it's coming back to hurt them. I mean, you have a starting rotation who they're playing without their ace, which, I mean, no one could have saw Bumgarner getting hurt this season. That is a horrible blow. But in his absence, no one has an ERA under 4. Absolutely no one. You have Matt Moore, who fans want to say that was a terrible trade for the Giants. They wish they could get Duffy back, blah, blah, blah. It's another thing that I don't understand, because Matt Duffy has not played at all with the Rays because he's been on the disabled list with his Achilles issue since the second half last year and this year. So, no one won that trade. Matt Moore, he at least has upside. He's still young. But, yeah, man, this year he's just bad. He's wild. He can't pitch on the road. His ERA is in the sixes. He just, everything about him is just not good this year. It's just been a terrible year for him. And it makes me wonder, should they have got him? I mean, he's young. He has serious talent. He was good before he had Tommy John, But then you look at it, oh, he had Tommy John. Should they have gone after him? Probably not. I mean, some players are able to come back from Tommy John and pitch absolutely great, but that has not been the case with Matt Moore, at least for now. He's still under contract for a couple years. Maybe he'll be able to... This is just a lost year, and then next year he'll come back and he'll do fine. I don't know. Jeff Samardzija, his ERA is in the fours. I have a love-hate relationship with Samardzija. I like him when he's pitching well, and then when... He's one of those players for me that if he's pitching well, I like him, and I think it's a great move that they signed him. I think it was a necessary move, but then when he pitches bad, it's like, God, why did they pay him so much money? I think with him, he's just inconsistent. His ERA is in the fours. But overall, I actually think Jeff Samardzija has pitched well this year, despite his ERA, despite his record. I think he should have at least a couple more wins than he has now. I think he's kind of been screwed a little bit, and then he's just come across some bad luck. So I don't think Samardzija has been terrible this year. I actually think he's been decent. His strikeout-to-walk ratio is ridiculous this year. That's encouraging to see. When you see things like that, it usually means that the pitcher's pitching well compared to what some of his other stats may say, like his wins and loss record, his ERA. So that's promising. Hopefully Samardzija will be able to continue to limit the runs that he gives up. Matt Cain, oh man, I think he's done. I love Matt Cain. I love what he's done for the Giants, but I really hope that for this team's sake that they don't re-sign him after the season ends. I hope they let him walk. And I feel bad saying that because I love Matt Cain. He has been a historical presence in that rotation for quite some time. But, man, it's time to move on. This roster needs a lot done to it. Rounding out the rotation, Ty Block, he's been up and down. He pitched good today. But he's a back end of the rotation guy, if anything. He's nothing too special. I feel bad saying that too because I like Ty Block. I think he's decent. I like him in that rotation, but I don't think he's anything to get too excited about. Like, he's not going to become an ace or anything of that nature. What you see is what you get is kind of what I'm trying to say in terms of Ty Block. I think that pretty much covers it with the starting rotation. The bullpen has been up and down. Mark Melancon has just not worked out. Apparently, he doesn't stretch. And apparently, he's altered the team chemistry because of his stretching habits. And that was just a really strange article by Kent Rosenthal that I read. I did not expect that. Mentioned everything from how it's just a boring clubhouse, everything's changing, stretching routines changing, to things like the teams of the past when they're successful were more unified because they're unified in their dislike for Angel Pagan. I thought that was funny. I thought it was comical. I thought it was kind of bizarre. I don't know how true that is, but that's hilarious. I did hear that that he kind of rubbed people the wrong way. So honestly, I wasn't really surprised to read that. What else? Ken Rosenthal said that this roster was boring. It's a quiet bunch, which, I mean, honestly, when you have some young players and players coming in and out, it seems like everyone in AAA is getting a chance at some point this year. So when you have young guys like that and they're losing so frequently, it can be demoralizing. And honestly, I mean, you traded away or a lot of the roster has changed since those World Series years. Yes, you have Posey, Belt, Crawford, Bumgarner, Hunter Pence. You have players of that nature, but for the most part, there's a lot of young guys this year. You've had Ryder Jones come up, Austin Slater, Kyle Crick, Ryder Jones, just a bunch of these young players just coming in and out. The roster has not been stable at all this year because of the injuries. So yeah, it's just been a nightmare of a season for the Giants. And getting to the questions that were asked, I got a couple questions regarding the Giants via Twitter. One from my friend Logan Stanley, who's a really, really good journalist. I highly advise you check out his Twitter. His Twitter handle is LS_Easterner. But yeah, he asked, is this team with its current stars, i.e. Posey, Bum, Pence, etc., done as we know it, time to blow it all up? And this is something I have thought a lot about this season, just because as Giants fans, it seems that the organization stays more loyal to the players that have done something great for them, who have been a part of their success. So like Matt Cain, Hunter Pence, Tim Lincecum for a while, Bumgarner, Posey, Crawford, Belt, they have been loyal to those guys. In past, you had Casilla, Sergio Romo, Javier Lopez, Jeremy Affeldt, just that core four in the bullpen. You had Angel Pagan for a while. You had all these guys who were part of so much history with this team, and maybe they've stuck around too long. Not Crawford, Posey, Bumgarner, or Belt, but or the core four. Aside from last year with Casilla and Romo, maybe they were there a little longer than they should have been. And I don't know, maybe that's because some other areas weren't addressed. I don't know what the correct answer to that question that I just asked myself was. Wow, I'm getting so off topic. But what I'm trying to say is the Giants have a track record of being a little more loyal than maybe they should have, to some of their star players or players that have endured success. And it seems like now that's coming back to bite them. Like, for example, Hunter Pence, he signed to a 5-year deal. I believe they signed him to a 5-year deal. And he has been injured each of the last few years. And he used to be this Iron Man of a player, and he just keeps finding himself on the disabled list. And when he comes back, he's just not the same anymore. He's not having a great season by any means. He's getting up there in age, which is ridiculous because he's still in his low 30s. But he's getting up there in age, and with the injuries, his play has declined. You have Denard Span, who's been injured off and on, and he hasn't lived up to his contract expectations. You have Brandon Belt. He was signed to a lengthy deal, and he is playing below his expectancy. And then you have Brandon Crawford, who's playing down this year as well. And then I'm trying to think of who else. Matt Cain, he has been done for a few years, but they keep running him out there because of his contract that he's on. He's making $20 million a year when he does not deserve to be on this roster, but then again, what can you do? There's just so much going wrong with this roster and so many needs that just have not been addressed properly. Some contracts that just have not worked out, and it's absolutely killing this team now. The bench was not really addressed. They don't have a threat coming off the bench. Their best hitter coming off the bench, arguably, is Kelby Tomlinson, who, don't get me wrong, I love Kelby Tomlinson. I think he's a good utility infielder, but I don't think he should be your best option off the bench. What else? You replace Gregor Blanco with Gorkys Hernandez, who has been atrocious this year. Again, left field was not addressed. The outfield at all was not addressed. You have no one who can step up and replace anyone in the outfield. I mean, they should know with Spann and Pence, you have these players who are getting older. They haven't been the healthiest. They did not address these needs in any way. It's coming back to bite them. Their players are getting older. And honestly, to answer your question, Logan, yes, it is time to blow this roster up. I don't necessarily think you need to blow it up completely, but changes definitely need to be made at the trade deadline. Cueto's most likely going to opt out at the end of the year, so it is important for the Giants in the long term to gather some prospects for him. So this actually kind of also answers another question that I got by one of my buddies that I took Kason with at Sonoma State. His name's Cody Gleason. He asked, will SF actually be sellers at the deadline? If so, who's the first to go? So this will kind of answer both of your guys' questions, Cody and Logan. My answer is I pray that they will be sellers. I think they will. I think Evans and the rest of the organization know that they have no other choice. They've screwed up with some contracts over these last couple seasons, and they need to not necessarily blow it all up and start completely fresh. Like, they're not going to get rid of Posey, Crawford, and Bumgarner. They've already been deemed untouchables. I kind of was surprised to see Belt taken off that list. Then again, he has not had a great year, so I can kind of see why he's expendable. But honestly, I do anticipate something will happen at the deadline. There's no way they're not going to be sellers this year. If they are not sellers, then I don't think they'll ever live it down from the fans, because the fans are at an all-time high when it comes to frustrations. So I anticipate they'll be sellers. I think the first to go will be Johnny Cueto. There are a bulk of teams that need starting pitching that are in the midst of a playoff push. Some of the more notable teams are the Astros, who in their starting rotation, they have Mike Fiers, who's pitching fairly well this year. Lance McCullers Jr., who's pitching phenomenal. They have Dallas Keuchel, who is pitching like he's a Cy Young candidate again. He's undefeated and has a 1.67 ERA. They have Joe Musgrove, who is not pitching well. And then they have Charlie Morton, who they added, who's pitching okay at best. So they're in need of another starting pitcher, and Cueto is a pitcher that can obviously help them. The Astros have a ton of talent at the younger levels, so they have some pieces that they can give up. And that's something that can be beneficial for both teams. Johnny Cueto did say he ultimately wants to finish his career in the American League, so that's a plus. Another team in the midst of a playoff race who's also in the American League are the New York Yankees. This is probably the more likely place where Cueto will end up. Their starting rotation, Masahiro Tanaka, he's pitched horrible this year. He's 6-7 with a 5.56 ERA. They have Michael Pineda, 7-4, 4.12 ERA. So, okay. And then they have Luis Severino, who's pitching really well. They have CeCe Sabathia, who's having quite a good year. He's 7-2 with a 3.46 ERA. Jordan Montgomery, 6-4, 3.53 ERA. So their rotation is a little bit better off. Actually, no, I wouldn't really say a little bit better off, but they have pitchers with better ERAs than the Astros. But they could definitely use another arm in that rotation. I mean, especially with how bad Tanaka's pitched. You definitely want to have someone like Cueto, who admittedly hasn't pitched anywhere near his form last year. But he's a pitcher who can definitely help the Yankees get to the playoffs. They have young talent as well with Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge. Obviously, those aren't players that would be included in the trade, but they have talent at the younger level as well. So if you could package someone like Cueto and Nunez to the Yankees, that would give the Yankees some depth in their lineup as well as in their rotation, and they can afford to give up some of their prospects. And I think with Cueto and Nunez included in a package, I think the Giants could get a nice haul with the Yankees for doing that. That is what I feel is the most likely scenario. Other than those two being traded, I'm really curious to see what else happens. I don't think they need to be huge sellers at the deadline. I don't think they need to completely blow up the roster, because they do have Posey. They have Crawford, who I think will have a year more like he's accustomed to having next season. And then they have Bumgarner, who will be healthy next year, and I highly doubt he'll be riding dirt bikes, so I think he'll be fine there. And if they can just add some players, if they can get some prospects who are on the cusp of making the major leagues, that would be good, because you have Posey, you have these core players in their prime, and they have to do something that they have to make moves that won't take years to come to fruition, because you don't want to waste these years with some of the talent that you have now with Posey, Crawford, and Bumgarner. So if they can add some prospects who are on the cusp of making the big leagues, and then really go hard in free agency and bulk up their outfield, bulk up their bench, they need to add some sort of a power-hitting threat. I don't care if AT&T Park is hard to hit out of. You see road teams playing on the road that come into AT&T Park and they hit home runs perfectly fine. I think they can find some sort of power hitter to come in. They need to do something, at least an RBI guy. If he's not going to hit a ton of home runs, get a guy who can hit some doubles and drive in some runs, someone who can drive in 80, 90 runs a year. You need to do something, because you can't have players like Belt, who are hitting 220 and leading the team in RBIs with 37 at this point in the season. You need someone who, actually, I don't even know if it's Belt that has 37 RBIs. He has somewhere in the 30s. But regardless, you need to have someone who's a threat in the middle of the order, who can move runners over, who can hit with runners in scoring position, hit with two outs. Just, you need some change in that lineup. Retool, come back strong next season, bulk up your outfield, for crying out loud. You can't trot out Span and Pence, and then you can't trot them out again without at least addressing the bench, bringing in a fourth outfielder to take over for whenever one of those guys go down, because it seems like it's only a matter of time before one of them go down. And for the love of God, the Giants need to add a left fielder next season. Hopefully Christian Arroyo will be more developed next year and he'll have a strong season starting at third next year, because I anticipate Nunez will not be the third baseman next year. I anticipate he will be gone at the trade deadline. Panic, he's hitting fairly well now, especially over the last 15 games or so. So he's fine at second base. Belt, you just gotta hope he can get his batting average up, because he's a really good defensive first baseman and he can hit for power. He can drive in runs, but needs to cut the strikeout rate down. Needs to fix his swing, make whatever adjustments are necessary to raise that batting average and not put the ball in play in clutch situations. So yeah, and then in terms of the rotation next year, I think it'll be okay. I think Beattie will replace Block, maybe sign another free agent pitcher just in case. I don't know what they plan to do with Moore. His trade value is non-existent at this point, especially with the way he's been pitching this season. So I don't know. I guess with him, just hope that he returns sort of to his last year's form. And this is just a fluke year. But they need to do something. Get another bullpen arm. Bulk up that bullpen somehow. Just retool. You don't need to blow everything up, but you definitely need some changes in that roster, because what the roster is composed of right now at this moment just is not cutting it. And I think it's because the Giants, like I said, are too loyal to some of their veterans, and they need to stop thinking about how the fans will feel if they get rid of a fan favorite and do what is ultimately best for the team. God, I feel like I can go on and on about this team forever, but I am running out of time. I'm here. It's almost 50 minutes into this podcast, and so I hope that this answered your guys' questions, Logan and Cody, and then formerly Nick when I was talking about the NBA. Again, thank you guys for asking your questions. It was a lot of fun for me answering them. It felt good to rant about the Giants at long last. I feel like I needed that. I feel like it's a load off my shoulders. And for those of you listening, I hope you enjoyed this style of podcasting. I intend to do this more frequently. I'll post to Twitter and Facebook when I plan on recording, maybe probably the day of, because that way I feel like I have no excuse for backing out or being lazy. So yeah, look for in the future for me to ask you all if you could ask me questions, give me some talking points. I like interacting in my podcast because I podcast alone, so I feel like it's at least some sort of conversation between me and whoever's asking the questions. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I did, and I hope that I will see you all soon. Have a good rest of your week. I will try my best to podcast next week, so be on the lookout. Just be on the lookout for any questions I'm asking, and if you have any suggestions, just let me know on Facebook, Twitter, wherever. I'm always open to accommodating what you guys want to hear in these podcasts. Thanks again, and I hope you all have a good rest of your week. Thank you.